This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Our buddy on Twitter, Adam Spears, sent us a picture. He's got a Billy Bob West Canaan jersey. He said, this is how I went to my niece's birthday last week.
Oh, nice.
Billy Bob.
That's awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Awesome. You cost me my perfect record of my state title.
Oh, man.
Is that the what would be the best fictional jersey to own? Because I told you a few months ago for our Building Hope for Autism Foundation, we auctioned off an Ed O'Neill autographed Al Bundy jersey, right?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Four touchdowns in one game. That, like, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I'm like, oh man, I would love to have that one.
Ricky Vaughn's good. Happy Gilmore one is good.
Yeah.
That I see every once in a while.
That's a good one.
Yep. That's a solid one as well. Shane Falco would be
that's
the one.
That's another
I'd love
good
to have.
One. Yeah.
Hey, Footsteps Falco, you cost me money in the bowl game last year.
Yeah.
Did anybody else have anything better to do that weekend? You've seen The Replacements, right?
Not.
Oh, that needs to be your next one.
If you're a football lord, yeah, we got to get you in The Replacements.
Gotta
maybe that's
that.
The next
that's
one.
That's your next one, yeah.
Footsteps Falco.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's getting ready to watch. Have you watched My Cousin Vinny yet?
I have not watched that.
That's his next
one.
What do you mean yet? It's on all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sit down right now. Hit your on-screen guide. I guarantee you My Cousin Vinny. I watch it at least once a day.
Jeez, okay.
It's, I mean, I'm exaggerating, yeah, but it's on course, that much. Yeah, like, yeah, you could sit down once a day and watch My Cousin Vinny on, like, AMC, IFC, one of these channels. They got it all the time on there.
I'm sorry.
Now you want to watch it without commercials.
I'm sorry. The two what?
The two what?
Yeah.
What?
Mr. Palantino, are you mocking me? Am I mocking you, sir?
My dad will even call me. My Cousin Vinny's on. Yeah, it's on all the time because he likes Marissa Tomei, I think. And who doesn't,
it's
right?
Got that Jersey swag.
Yeah, man. It really is. Yeah.
Try to dad's out.
Talk about
right
positive traction and tires and things. I mean, but she's hot. I mean, she was great in that movie.
Do I look okay? I'm going hunting with the guy. Do I look okay? Do you think that's what the deer is going to think? Is it what you look like is okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're a deer and you go down for some water and you put your head down, you get a couple of drinks of water, then bang, you're dead. You think that deer cares about what you're wearing?
Then he's out there in that velvet suit. I mean, it's such a great movie. The two Utes, like my dad and I, we still talk about that. You know, we still quote movies
Prime
about
Pesci.
That. Like, you know, you're two Utes, two what?
Pesci did
Utes.
Goodfellas. He did Casino. My Cousin Vinny, Home Alone, Home Alone 2. I mean, that's...
I was talking to somebody yesterday about Home Alone, my buddy Joe. He goes, we went up to Chicago last week, and they had a girls' basketball tournament for Charlie and whatnot, and they're up there playing. They won all six games. Congratulations, shout-out, dominated the tournament. He goes, we went to the Home Alone house, and I'm thinking to myself, we did that a couple of years ago. That movie's 35 years old. He goes, the traffic in front of that house was insane. 35 years after that movie made, I don't know if there's a better movie that I'm not going to say stands the test of time, but everybody watches Home Alone and still continues to watch it. Like, my kids quote Home Alone. That movie's 35 years old.
Nowadays, they just have a Ring cam and Harry and Marv be done. This is what Shaquille O'Neal had to say last night. It's great audio.
There's always saying when something passes away, something is reborn. Yes, it is the ending of the entire NBA on TNT, but it's the new beginning for us. I'm glad we're still together on whatever network we go to. And whatever network we're coming to, we bring it the pain. Just letting you know right now. Okay, I know everybody's sad that, oh, it ain't going to be the show. The show is still here, baby. You can never kill the four horsemen. We coming. And we coming to take spots. We coming to kick ass. And we coming to take names.
Take names.
And we doing it our way.
Hey, I love it. So, okay? Let's go play. So, yeah, I'm ready to go right now.
So, you know,
I'm
all
ready,
that,
baby.
So, you know, all the sadness about that show, we coming with a whole brand new show. And we don't care who in our way. We coming to kick ass and take names.
Oh, I can play.
That's right. And then Chuck goes, can I be Ric Flair?
Yeah.
Now, that's a shout-out to the Four Horsemen. For those of you that are unaware, the Four Horsemen was a group of guys in the WCW. Ric Flair, obviously, part of that quartet, for those of you. But I love that from Shaq because I don't know if there is a designed mouthpiece of that group. Obviously, Ernie's the dad that keeps the kids in the car seatbelted up and get to the trip in one piece. But the other three all kind of have their value. And one thing that I had said, I think it was Tuesday. I said, the sad part about this is that we're one game away from this being the last time we see this crew. That is not true.
No.
And Shaq made it very evidently clear that I don't care who's at ESPN. I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been. We're coming with the clout that we have, and we know it, and we're going to do our own program. Now, I hope that stays true. Because they're going to have a different producer. They're going to have a different director.
Maybe they make it that all those guys have to come with them,
too. I have heard that they're trying to do that.
They're trying.
I think
so. Trying. Well, you don't take them. You don't take them, you don't get us. And it's the most important sports show in the history of sports. And that is, again, not an overstatement.
It keeps basketball very, very relevant.
It does. And ESPN needs that on Tuesday in February when they're running, you know, a game featuring the Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, you need the NBA is successful, in my opinion, in a major way because of that show. You know, you're talking to a guy who's not an NBA fan, but boy, I know what's going on that show all the time. How many other shows are like that in sports, right? What football show is like that? What baseball show is like that? What hockey show is like that? What any show is like that? They've got you on the edge of your seat. You never know what they're going to say. They're entertaining. They're informative. They're everything you want in a show. And so if I'm ESPN, I look at them, I go, don't try to reinvent this thing. Who do you want? Where do you want them? And let's just move this show to a different channel and not change a damn thing. But ESPN will try to mess it up as they always do.
Of course. Yeah, it's, you know, and I'm glad they're staying that way. I'm glad they're, you know, holding their ground and everyone's saying this is the last one because that's what they put up last time when the Knicks went down 3-1. They said, sad, we're only going to get one more show of this. And then the Knicks went out there last night and had themselves a game.
Yeah, they did.
They're great.
Yeah, so now we get a game 6.
Which is awesome.
Which hopefully we get a game 7.
Well, if you're going to get a game 6, you got to get a game 7, right? You got to make sure. Because as I was telling you guys before, I'm like, nobody's looking forward to the finals. And so I think the NBA may realize that. Is that referee, that ref game 3, going to come in? Who is the fixer, the cleaner?
The extender?
Yeah,
Scott Foster.
Yeah, Scott Foster, the extender. He was named after that dish, bananas. And so I wonder if he's going to be called to the equation today or for game 6 to make sure that this does go a game 7. Because once the series is over, the NBA season is over. Everybody knows it. Ain't nobody going to the table for Indiana taking on Oklahoma City. Sorry.
I know 3 people that will. Mac, Drew, and myself. But that's it.
It'll be great basketball.
I guess Carrington will watch.
But
the ratings will be terrible.
The ratings will be terrible.
The ratings
will
be terrible. Have you seen the difference in the ratings between the East and the West Finals, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's
The West Finals have been absolute trash.
That's right.
They have not
Oklahoma City is going to run through whoever they play.
Yeah,
probably.
Like, I would say right now, if you put an over-under on it, 5.5 games, Indiana, Oklahoma City. Taking
that's
over
a good number. I'm going to probably take the under.
Yeah, it's really close.
It's a good number. That's why we gamble, because it's a really good number. But I think I'm going to take the under about that because, A, they're going to see the TV ratings aren't very good, so nobody's going to want to extend this thing, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way that it is. Like, they're going to look at that guy. Right, nobody's watching anyway. Let's get this thing over in 5.
Yeah, we need more. We need more Timotei.
The networks need 5, 6, and 7. That's where they make their money. The first 4 games are basically free. You need 5, 6, and 7 of every series to make money.
The obvious in the room, the elephant in the room, is that game 7 is where?
New York.
New York.
Right. That's exactly why it's going 7. When would that game be?
Monday
night.
Monday night, baby.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We go to Bob's.
I mean, what's the competition?
Taco pizza
that night.
I'm in.
Baseball.
Royals. Yeah.
Right. But from a sports standpoint, there's nothing.
No.
A game 7 Knicks Pacers Madison Square Garden Monday night would be a huge deal for the NBA.
Indiana, man, they should be scared if that happens. It's
over. If that happens, man,
they're not going back to New York and winning Game 7. I really don't believe it.
The competition for the Royals do not play Monday, June 1st or June 2nd. The competition for the NBA at that time would see they would play at 7 o'clock. Would be Detroit and Chicago White Sox. Padres, Giants at 8:45, okay. Twins, Athletics at 9:05, Mets, Dodgers at 9:10. So
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally no competition. That needs to go Game 7. And I think you're right. If it goes Game 7, look out, Indiana. Do you think McAfee will pay $70,000 for a ticket to Game 7?
Yes. 100%. At the Garden?
He wouldn't last night.
That wasn't Game 7.
I know. Game 7. Do you think a ticket will be $70,000?
No, I mean, not where he's going to want to sit. Absolutely not.
I didn't know I needed a John Mellencamp feud with Pat McAfee.
Like, so let me ask you this. Mahomes' last Super Bowl, you're at the game.
Uh-huh.
Okay. His last Super Bowl, let's say it's his last year. He's 40 years old. He's in the Super Bowl.
Already announced the retirement. We
Correct.
Know this is going to be his last.
Swan song season. You're club level 50-yard line. Game 7, Monday night, New York Knicks, courtside. May never see either one again.
Gosh, that's hard, Bob.
I am hard right now. I'm hard.
It's hard for me, and I'm not an NBA fan. That tells you the magnitude of.
Because what you
7.
Have said about Travis Kelce is that soak it all in. Yeah. We've got our games. We're gonna watch him. The Christmas night game is the last game he's in Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. You're probably gonna have a couple, moments where you're like, all right, this is it. This is the last time he's going to try it out there at a home game during the regular season.
What is that ovation going to be like on Christmas night when they announce Travis Kelce? I just got goosebumps thinking about it. I mean, the play, you're not even going to hear his name announced.
No.
You're 40, not.
45 for like 5 seconds. Minutes. Where do you guys go? You go Mahomes' last Super Bowl.
Mahomes.
Age 4. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mahomes' last because that's
over
the last.
Sitting next to Timotei?
Yeah, because
and Jenner?
You may get the opportunity. Bruce? Okay. You may get the opportunity to do that again because that's always going to be there. Right? Madison Square Garden, front row, the Spike
When's
Lee.
When's the last time they played a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals? Was it
2001, maybe? 2000, okay. Something like that?
The
Knicks?
Yeah.
Was it Latrell Sprewell?
It may have been.
99 was the last finals they made, so maybe 99? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. So, yeah, no, you're right. It's been 25 years, and that's gone by in a blink. I mean, we're already starting to see, quarter-century superlatives being passed out in sports. Like, oh, my God, 25 years.
The penny's gone.
25 years is gone of this century already. It goes by in a blink of an eye. Slow down, life, right? I'd have to go with Mahomes because you're never going to see Patrick Mahomes play again. You could always see the Knicks hypothetically play the game. We know you're never going to see Patrick Mahomes in that moment again. And he's going for 10, so it's going to be a big deal.
Coming up on the other side, Bobby Scales going to talk to us about this Detroit Tigers and Kansas City Royals series and what he believes this Royals team truly is. We'll ask him that question on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well at 96.5 The Fan. We're now joined by Bobby Scales, the color commentator for the Detroit Tigers. You're the big bad dogs coming into town. How's the season been going, Mr. Bobby? Also, thank you for joining us.
No, about all that. No, it's been going very well. It's been a fun team to watch, a fun team to follow, and a good bunch of guys. So you put those things together, it's been pretty good.
It's been really the last 100 games or so dating back to last year. The guys from Detroit have been absolutely on fire. Why have the Tigers been the best team in baseball over the last year, roughly?
Well, you know, it all begins, starts, and ends with starting pitching and pitching in general. You guys saw that, the improvement that you guys had last year. But the rotation has been tremendous. And, yeah, the pitching chaos towards the end of the season last year in the last 45 games was – born out of necessity, but man, it worked. It worked in spades. And then this year, some of the starters got hurt. The guy going tonight, Casey Mize, got back in the rotation. He's made a tremendous improvement. Tarek Skubal is the best pitcher in baseball, full stop. Mm-hmm. And then the bullpen has continued to be very, very good this year. So it's been interesting. It's been an awesome ride, but it begins and ends with starting pitching and some timely hitting and and the ability to catch the baseball.
With the Central Division being arguably the best division in baseball, I would say it's up there. Obviously, the NL West will have a say with that as well. But when you look at this division, we in Kansas City look at Detroit like, can they stop winning? But I would assume that everybody in Detroit would say, can these people just go away? Who's the most annoying team to Detroit from Bobby Scales' opinion?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, if you look at how the season started, the Twins going on that absolute heater they went on was like, why are you guys still here? But all of a sudden they got hot, and then we're thinking back to last season, like we kind of did the same thing. So I love it. I like the division. Obviously, the White Sox are not doing so well, and they're in the middle of a teardown and rebuild. But, you know, when you look at the rest of the division, all of these series are always competitive. Cleveland's just annoying because they do what they do, and somehow they figure out a way to be in every ball game. And they took 3 out of 4 from the Tigers last weekend. But, yeah, I mean, the whole division is tough. There's zero gimmies. And like I said, and this isn't to beat up on Chicago, but, you know, even the White Sox are better than they were a year ago under Will Venable. So the whole division is tough. There's no gimmies. You got to get your mind right when you're playing inside a division, and that makes it fun baseball to watch and fun baseball to call.
Talking with Bobby Scales, Tiger announcer there in town for the big series this weekend against the Royals. You mentioned the Twins, and it's funny you did, because I told these guys coming back from spring training, I said, I guarantee you that Twins manager is the first one to go. And they started out slow, and then they kind of turned it around, as you mentioned, and now they're on a heater, and the Royals have been on a heater all year. You guys have been on a heater, you know, all year long. Both you and the Twins turned it around kind of mid-season. How does that happen? Because I think we've seen so many teams get out of the gate so slow and then basically just give up on the year. How are you able to turn it around in the midst of a season like that?
Well, I think the number one thing you have to remember, and this is so cliche, it makes me want to, you know, but it's a long year, man. You cannot ride the emotional highs. The emotional highs or lows anytime you're involved in this game. You just cannot do it. And I will say this, I don't know Rocco that well as a person. I hear great things about him, especially given some of the injuries he's had, you know, to contend with. When you don't have they've played something like, so the stats ridiculous, and I'm not going to quote it, so I'm going to get it wrong, but they have not had you know, Lewis and Buxton and Correa on the field at the same time for extended periods of time during these last few years. But, you know, when you get those guys back healthy, or at least get 2 or 3 of them, you got a chance. In our case, the thing that I would say is that AJ Hinch gets a lot of credit for the movement of the chess pieces in game. He's very good at that. That goes with, you know, that his, it's evidenced by some of the things he's doing. The reason he's able to do that is because he has two things. Number one, he has very, very versatile players. And he has players that have bought in. And as a leader, you get buy-in when you have complete, open, and honest communication with your group. Here's what we need from you today. Here's what we need from you tomorrow. Here's what we need from you going forward. The message is consistent. The message is clear. The message is truthful, and it doesn't change. And that, when you have a bunch of guys that hey, Skip has asked me to do this, and this is what I need to do, they believe it, they buy in, and they accept the role. And so that for me is the reason he's as good as he is. It's not because he can move the chess pieces on the board, which he's good at. His best quality, in my opinion, from the seat that we sit in and the seat that I'm able to sit in with the Tigers, is the fact that there's clear and consistent communication. There's no ambiguity. He has the tough conversations. He does so tactfully, and guys buy into it. And so when you have those two things going for you, I think it's to your advantage.
When you talk about that seat that you sit in with the Tigers, talking to Bobby Scales here on 96.5 The Fan, that matchup on Saturday, Tarik Skubal, Bobby Witt Jr., that's the cream of the crop right there, right?
It's what you pay to see, man. It's awesome. And I am, you know, you guys probably don't get to hear me when we're doing other games, obviously, but I am a card-carrying member of the Bobby Witt fan club. I love the dude. I mean, he is a dude. All aspects of the game. And if you do a deep dive into the metrics, everything he's done, he's gotten better. Hard hit rate, chase rate, strikeout rate. You know, the question was when he got to the big leagues, because he stayed short. Well, he was a little rocky early on. It was balls right at him, which means you just got to clean up normal plays, and balls to his right. Can he get better going to his backhand? He did that. And he, you know, he runs, he steals bags. He makes high baseball IQ plays. Huge fan of Bobby Witt Jr. I said it before, he's going to win an MVP in the next 2 to 3 years. He almost did last year. Just tremendous baseball player. I love it. And then getting the opportunity to watch Tarik Skubal pitch, every turn is just that's fantastic. I mean, the guy has just exploded onto the scene the last couple of years and just continued to get better and better and better with power stuff, excellent command, and just a little nasty out there on the mound. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, dude, his last start was insane. I caught like the last couple of innings of that, and I was like just captivated. I'm like, what is this guy doing out here on the mound? He's now toying with people. I mean, like you mentioned earlier, he's the best pitcher in the American League right now, maybe the best pitcher in all of baseball. It was enthralling just watching this guy pitch.
You know, it was messed up. I have about 100 game package with the Tigers this year, and of course I was at home in Atlanta watching it, and I was like, come on, man, how can I not be in the booth for this? But I watched every pitch after you check in when you don't, you know, when you're not doing the games, you don't watch every pitch, but I saw he was starting and I checked in. And finally I said, come here, son, we're going to sit down and watch this one, the full thing. So,
you made your kids sit down and watch it with
you? Oh yeah. My son, Trey, come on, son. He doesn't even like baseball. I'm like, you're watching this kid. So, you'll be okay.
Who else have you made your son sit down and watch? Cause that's, I as a dad, you know, sometimes you grab your kids, you go watch this guy play. I've got two daughters. They're not as interested as they were a few years ago, you know, in the professional sports. So watch Mahomes and whatnot. But like who else have you made your son sit down and watch and go, you got to watch this guy play?
Well, across all sports, I mean, I'm a lover of all sports, and my son, and he's awesome. Trey's fantastic, but he's not a sports kid. He's more of a robotics, engineering, sure. Legos, building stuff kid. But we're going to watch Steph Curry. We're going to watch Tarik Skubal pitch. We're going to watch, I'm a big golfer, so we're going to pick some big tournaments to watch in golf as well. But, you know, that when I said, son, come here, you're going to sit here for a minute.
Yeah, watch this.
I do want to bring this name up and ask what you know or what you have heard about. But when we say the name Jack Caglione, what does that mean to Bobby Skaggs?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Like I said, you know, I work for the Tigers, obviously, but I do live in Atlanta, so I'm very familiar with the SEC. And, mm-hmm. you know, you get got SEC games, so I watched him at Florida a little bit. And, yeah, I mean, listen, man, the dude's got real, real, real power. He looks like he's a genuine article. And, this game is getting younger. This game is getting more dynamic. And it's exciting to see guys like him that can do the things he can do on a baseball field, matriculate their way to the big leagues. And we wish him the best of luck to get here. And we wish him a whole bunch of hard line drives right at people when they play the Tigers.
It's funny you say go ahead.
But a lot of success otherwise. And listen, I say this and I mean this in all sincerity. I love this game. I consider myself a caretaker of this game. I want to see the game flourish, and that means young players getting to the big leagues and being good and being healthy. And yeah. I say this all the time and in regards to Buxton, it just seems like it's a shame he hasn't been on the field as much as he could have been in the past few years. Because the game's better when your young players, when your marquee guys are out there doing it. It's a better product. It makes for better TV. It makes for better radio, and it's better for the game. So
it is.
You know. Just hope that everybody can stay healthy and these young guys get to the big leagues and do well.
And I think baseball has kind of lost that a little bit. Like, we're such in an NFL world now, Bobby. I know you went to Michigan. You're talking to a huge Buckeye fan here. So, Ishigan, and you follow college football. You follow college football.
You might have to end this thing early.
So you know what it's like. You see all these kids in college football. You get excited about them. And then the next year, they're in the NFL and they're contributing already to your team. Baseball players, you draft them, all right, we'll see you in 6 years, and you lose that buzzkill about it. Like, baseball has got to find a way to speed up that clock. I think eliminating some of the minor leagues may help with that as well. Speed up the clock, get these guys up here that fans do get excited about when they're young.
Well, I'm gonna challenge you on that a little bit. Okay. You want the young players that belong here in the big leagues to be here when they're supposed to be here. I do think recently in the industry, we've ruined some players by pushing them too quickly. There is a reason there's levels to this thing. Mm-hmm. I'll be sensitive to this too. I worked in player development for 9 years. And so it's tough for me to watch some of the contraction that has happened because some good people, men and women, good people in this industry have lost jobs. And I think a lot of it is driven by the economics of the game. I will say this. The middle class of baseball has kind of gone away. The veteran guy that may be 31, 32, who's a utility player, who's a bench player, who's on a 2-year deal for $5 million, which is a modest contract, But he's a big league player. He's a winning baseball player. That guy has gone away in favor of the shuttle bus to the minor leagues of guys who are making $700,000. I think the game has suffered for that.
Yeah.
So I don't discount what you're saying. I do think the product could be better if we found a way to get that player back into the mix. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way that the owners have decided to go, and so be it. But I think getting young players who are dynamic, who have earned their way to the big leagues, into the big leagues and playing well is awesome. I also think that having guys who are veteran guys come off the bench, know how to play this game, creates a better product as well. So
yeah, it does.
Striking that balance, I think, is important.
You mentioned that, though, and I remember years ago when the NFL was going through their collective bargaining agreement, Andy Studebaker was the Chiefs rep, and he came in here and he said the exact same thing that you just said. The middle class of athlete in the NFL is going to die, and he's right about that. They'll pay the young guys the rookie contract. They'll pay your superstars, but the dude who's just a good baseball player, as you mentioned, the two-year, $5 million type of guy, that guy's getting lost in the shuffle in all sports now.
Yeah, I think that's the way it is. And you know, listen, change is inevitable. That's the one thing that we know is coming in life, or one of the few things that we know is coming in life. And that's how it is. So you have to adapt and overcome. But at the same time, I do think the product would be better if you had more guys who were more I don't care if I get in trouble or not. I think you guys who are more major league ready than some of the young players that are coming up right now.
Bobby, last one for you. A guy that's been major league ready for quite some time, Seth Lugo. What would go wrong for the Detroit Tigers if Seth Lugo shoves tonight?
Seth Lugo is who he is. And he's interesting too, because I appreciate in the era of power, everything, power fastball, power slider, power curveballs. You know, we're seeing changeups at 90, 91. Seth Lugo is a guy who is a pitching artisan. His array of pitches is impressive. And his ability to command all of those pitches to both sides of the plate, to both-handed hitters, is very impressive. You know, in my prep work with him, he's one of the guys where I write down very little, because you know what he's going to do. He's going to use all his pitches. He's going to pitch to all quadrants with the zone. And he's going to change eye level. And he's going to, you know, it's one thing for a guy to go east-west with his pitches. It's one thing for a guy to go north-south. One thing that guys don't do a lot of, in my opinion, in today's baseball, is get guys going back and forth. And what I mean is speed them up, slow them down further, slow them down even further, and bam, speed them up again. Get guys in the rocker. And as a former position player, that is the worst place to be. I can handle a guy that works the top or bottom. I can handle a guy that goes east and west. But the guy that can do one of those things, if not both, but also have me constantly in the rocker speed-wise, is the guy that gives me the most trouble. And if he's doing that tonight, it could be a long night for the Tigers. And that's how he pitches. And so, I know he's coming back from injury a little bit, had the middle finger injury the finger injury. It's going to be interesting to see what pitches he has a feel for, but that's what he does. And that's what he's very good at. And so look for that tonight.
Well, Bobby, we appreciate the time. Have a good call on the game tonight. Enjoy the three games against the Tigers and the Royals.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much. Go Blue.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. I got me, son of a gun. He's good at what he does.
He's a go blue.
He got that.
One
in.
Word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise. No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
I've never been so speechless in my life.
That was awesome.
That was fantastic. Like, that was so good. Ego Blue hung up.
Ego Blue knew it.
That was fantastic.
He can't even respond. Go Blue. See you later.
He's Bobby awesome, Scales by the way. Off the top rope to Bobby Fesco.
Oh, God, that was great. What a fun interview. What a great dude. And I will be listening to him now on the MLB app tonight.
Seriously.
See what he's got to say about Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby about Bobby. Yeah, that
guy
was awesome.
It's always good to listen to the opposing broadcast, you know, on the MLB app, because you hear different things than you normally would hear. You get a different perspective. It's great.
I have done that now a few times since you've mentioned that, and every time I like it because I learn something new.
Yeah, you do.
Different perspective.
That's what they think about that player.
Yeah. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Especially when you're trying to learn like I am about baseball. So one word on Seth Lugo. Starting tonight for the Royals, you heard Bobby Scales give about a 90-second answer on Lugo that we'll listen to later. But one word on Lugo starting tonight for the Royals.
Good means he's back from injury. He's healthy. He's ready to go. So good is the one word that I will use for that.
Timing. It's perfect timing. You're playing a big series. He's a veteran. Like Bobby Scales just said, he can put guys in a rocker from east, west, north, south, up speed, down speed. The timing for Seth Lugo couldn't be better. So timing for Seth Lugo is tonight. And go get those damn Tigers, man.
Text from Bobby Scales. Had to sneak that in there. Ha ha.
Text him back and say, nah, it's brilliant.
Oh, I will.
It was brilliant.
That was fantastic.
I mean, it was so good.
It would have been better if he said, had to get that in there. F the Ohio State.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. It was just so go blue. It was so good. That's what I'm gonna do with Carrington now. When I'm with him, go Jayhawks. Yep. Up.
Yeah. Somebody from the 785 says, like that guy. You need to have him on the show more often.
Oh, we will.
He was great.
He was fantastic. We will do that again. Fun, yes. Entertaining. He needs to be more of a voice in baseball because he's got it figured out.
He does.
He's been on the player development side. He played. He's now on the broadcasting side. He's seen it all. Like. He's good, man.
That guy's A1.
Yep.
What was not A1, or at least Siakam didn't think it was A1 last night, was the reporter. Pascal Siakam and a reporter got a little heated last night. One word on this interaction. We'll listen to the audio.
Nah, they played harder than us, I think. I think they played harder than us. You know, loose balls, like rebounds, like all that. We got to be able to win that battle.
Pascal, can you make sense of it for those of us who don't play this game at this level? Like, you know what was a stake, and you're saying they played harder than you guys, you didn't fight them hard enough. How is that possible?
What do you mean?
How is it possible to not fight hard enough in game?
What are you talking about? They played harder than us. It's okay. We played hard, but they played harder. What's your point? I don't get it.
My point is you're saying you guys got out fought, and I'm saying...
That happens in a game, though. That's basketball.
In game 5,
oh, my God.
You're good? You're good, bro?
you're
looking for something, I know, but damn. No, but I'm telling you, though. I told you.
Stop the music.
What else do you want me to tell you?
This is the kind of reporter that gives media a bad name.
Fishing.
Yeah.
That's my one word. Fishing.
My one word is Clark, because that's the same reporter who got banned from covering Caitlin Clark.
Yes, it is. Greg Doyle is his name.
Yeah, that guy gets no benefit of the doubt.
That guy
gets no slack whatsoever. He was clear. That's his MO. He was clearly in there trying to get something and be the story. Yeah, there are times where guys go out there in an elimination game and do play harder than the guys who are not in an elimination game because they're playing for their lives.
It does happen.
Yes.
Jalen Brunson was the best player in the world last night.
He was phenomenal last night.
That was just last night. He is the best. Last night, he was the best basketball player in the world.
And the Knicks bench played like they had their lives on the line, too.
And they did have their lives.
Yes.
Indiana did not have their lives on the line. It doesn't mean they didn't play hard last night. They played hard last night. That guy's just trying to stir up stuff. That guy, that's a jerk move.
Siakam, you good, bro?
Yeah, I love that. Pascal Siakam in that instance just, like, vaulted to the top of the list for me.
Somebody from the 913 said that's a Darren for sure.
That is a Darren. Yeah.
Solid.
And what Bob's referring to is, this last season with Caitlin Clark, he you know, heart, interviewed him and they did the heart hands, and Caitlin Clark was like, yeah, I do that to my family. And then he was like, yeah, you know, if you do that to me, we'll be pretty all right. And it was just like, what the hell?
All right.
Creeper?
Well, guess what? Now you're going to get zero responses from athletes.
Exactly. So you've pissed off the greatest women's basketball player we've ever seen, and now you're pissing off an NBA team, both in the same city.
And they're both going to ban him eventually. I mean, the Fever already said you're done, and now we'll see what the Pacers do.
And then, bro,
one word on the Knicks winning last night.
Fantastic.
Ratings.
Yeah,
because if they can win again now, Senior Haliburto is going to be in that building again for game 6.
Exactly.
And, you know, maybe Indiana, they had one to give. I'm not saying they did. I'm saying they had one to give.
But when you think that way, don't ever give it because.
No.
But I'm just saying they could lose. I'm not saying they wanted to. Obviously, they want to wrap it up as quickly as possible because the finals start on June 5th. But ratings, man, we're going to get another game against these two teams, which is the rest of the playoffs, because once this is over, it's over. Nobody beating Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah.
Nobody's going to be watching Oklahoma City either.
If the Knicks play, they will.
If the Knicks play, they will.
The Knicks will, yes.
Knicks won't win, but they'll play them.
One word on John Mellencamp versus Pat McAfee. He called out Pat McAfee on Twitter, Mellencamp, that is, because Pat McAfee was at the Indiana Pacers Knicks game on game 5 and went over and called out, Ben Stiller and Timothée Chalamet and Indigo kind of did a hype-up pregame speech. Mellencamp said, that's not what the Pacers do, blah, blah, blah. We're not like that in Indiana. One word on the Mellencamp and McAfee feud.
From a Mellencamp standpoint, embarrassing. Go back to concerts, John. This is sports. McAfee was getting the crowd fired up. There were no cursings. No. There was nothing derogatory. There was nothing wrong with anything that Pat McAfee did. Got the crowd fired up, took a couple of shots. This is sports. This is what it's about. I was talking to my friend Joe, who was up in Chicago last week. He goes, we were on the train, and these two White Sox fans get on. And they looked at me, and they go, you got a lot of nerve wearing that here. He goes, what? He goes, that Royals cap. He goes, Royals cap? He goes, why? And the White Sox fan goes, that's our rival. And Joe looks at them and goes, your rival's the field, man. Like, you don't have a rival right now. And he goes, after that hour-long train ride, we were high-fiving and joking, that's exchanging good phone numbers, became friends.
Yes.
That's what sports is about,
that's
right?
Exactly
when you can
right
get and give the competition a little ribbing and stuff like that, that's good for the game. John Mellencamp needs to take a seat, man. Go outside a Tasty Freeze and suck on that chili dog.
He just stole mine, so yeah, we're good. I was going to say chili dog, but...
chili dog.
Yeah.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog.
What does that even mean, to suck on a chili dog?
He said he was embarrassed to be a Hoosier. Yeah, I'd be embarrassed to be a Hoosier.
You should have been embarrassed, man, by writing a line that says sucking on a chili dog.
Yeah, outside a Tasty Freeze.
I understand what a Tasty Freeze is. That's Dairy Queen.
Right, but it's still very weird.
But one thing leads to another. You do not literally suck a chili dog. You bite a chili
Men's
dog.
Wieners.
What a weirdo.
Sucking on a chili dog outside the Tasty Freeze. Yelling at McAfee because he had some fun tonight.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the out of left field question here on 96.5 The Fan. What's something that should be easier than it actually is?
Golf.
96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you, you get in some car trouble, you need to know what to do right away, right? There's nothing worse than having a car accident. Everybody's been in one, or you've had your car break down, and you got to sit there and wait for a tow company to show up. You got to deal with the insurance company to send out a tow company.
Back in on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well with you on a Friday. Got here quicker than you thought. But it's beautiful outside. Going to be beautiful all weekend. Go see those boys in blue. Mike Moustakas will retire a Royal on Saturday. Big Slick at the K tonight. The Big Slick event part two Saturday night. Lots of stuff happening in Kansas City this weekend. Jack Caglione in Omaha. Soon as that 10-2 show is over, Alex gets in shotgun in Dusty's car, and bam.
You going up to Omaha tonight, huh?
That's right, baby.
You got big plans. I got some good breweries up there, I think, and some good bars and whatnot. That,
oh, yeah,
that Haymarket area, maybe Old Market, something market. Supposed to be really cool, too.
Yeah, Alex wants to go to Yogurtini, so we got to go there.
Oh, that'll be nice, yeah. No, I'm not surprised you would say that, you know, because Alex is a weird eater.
He goes, do you have any good chicken tender spots out there? I'm joking. It is 7-ish towards the end of the hour on a Friday, so we get to the out of left field question brought to you by nobody, but somebody could step up. Out of left field question today is, what's something that should be easier than it actually is? You kind of said yours.
Everybody would say golf, right? That should be an easier any sport, like shooting a basketball, hitting a baseball, all that should be easier than it really is. Then you do it and you realize how good these professional athletes are. I'm going to be honest with you, changing the battery in your car. They have made that to be so difficult now, where they hide it under seats and all over the place. Mm-hmm. That used to be an easy fix on your car if your battery went dead. No more.
Mine's
that
in
an
the
easy fix.
Back seat underneath the, the captain's chair?
Yeah, yours is in a weird spot because Jen had that same car. Where's your battery? It's under the seat in the back. What?
Yeah. It's tough, and there's like 15 different screws. You got to take the mat out. Yeah, it's brutal.
Right.
And that thing is in a very tight spot, and it's impossible to lift.
It is. Yeah, that's why they do that. So you got to go in and get it all. So changing the battery in your car needs to be a lot easier, because some of those auto parts places used to advertise, you know, we'll change it for free if you just show up and buy the battery here. Mm-hmm. I did that one time, showed up years ago. Oh, your car's too new. I go, it's an 03.
Mac,
maybe it's too new.
Again, what is something that is difficult that should be easy? Is your out of left field question. Somebody says on the 913, as a teacher taking a sick day.
Yeah, that's a fair point for a teacher, especially. Yeah.
From the 816, understanding women.
Oh, forget about it. Watch What Women Want. It's one of the great movies out there, and you wish that you could absolutely have that superpower. But sometimes you don't want to know what everybody's thinking.
Is that where he like can read their minds or
he
whatever?
He can hear them, I guess.
Hear their thoughts.
Yeah.
Blow dryer falls in the bathtub. And
yeah, and then he says, I see dead people and meanders the streets of Philadelphia.
No, then he went and made Passion of the Christ. Changing a headlight from the 816.
100% on that one, too.
That's brutal.
They used to be very easy.
Now you're going through the hood and underneath and pull.
Take the whole front grill off. I mean, thank God for YouTube videos when it comes to car repairs.
From the 816, sucking on a chili dog.
Yep, should be a lot easier.
From the 816, eating healthy, it's expensive and inconvenient.
It's really a great one.
It's really not expensive. It's expensive to go to fast food joints.
Yeah, like, it is.
Go to Culver's and let me know how inconvenient and expensive that is.
You take the family to a fast food joint, you're dropping $60-$70.
But it's expensiver to shop for healthy grocery items if you're
depends
doing organic.
Depends on what you're looking for. You don't necessarily have to go organic. You can buy, I mean, I go to Hy-Vee almost every day, and I mean, you can buy three heads of lettuce for $2.99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can buy pork. It's really cheap.
Yeah.
And you could buy like a half pound of Brussels sprouts and walk out spending like $8.50.
Yeah.
I know that from experience. No, you don't. Yes, I do.
Yeah, buy a piece of salmon, $5.
Yeah.
Somebody says tagging.
Nice piece.
Somebody says tagging your vehicle or farting around your new girlfriend for the first time.
Did somebody, like, I asked you guys that. How old do you have to be to fart around your girl, or how long do you have to be dating to be able to fart effectively around your significant other, right? Like, is it it's not the first date.
No.
Yep, blowing ass in the booth.
No.
What was that? Sorry. Like, that's not happening.
From the 913, dating from Dusty Likens.
Dating sucks. It's one of the worst things that human beings have to do.
It's probably gotten harder.
What? Especially with the first, like, three or four dates. Like, the first three or four dates, it's just so awkward. Nobody wants to be here. What's the end game?
But don't you think it's more difficult? I'm asking as a younger guy.
You're asking me. Hell if I know. I actually had to call people back in the day. We'd have apps, you know?
Mm. But less competition.
True. I never thought of it from that perspective.
Oh, yeah. Bob's the one guy who's called me in the last 2 weeks. You know, I haven't swiped right on 500 men or whatever. You know what it is?
Go ahead.
I know that I'm hard.
Go ahead and mark
that one. I've
been
pounded this week.
No doubt.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Somebody says finding a chicken tender spot in Omaha. From the 206, taxes. Every other country just sends you a bill. We'd love that.
Yeah. But then how could we cheat?
Something that's harder than it should be, Sky Moore catching a football from the 816.
Jeez.
From the 785, getting Cody to go to a strip club. How about paying a cell phone bill? Like, unless you do automatic pay, like every time you do it, you have to like #3. Hi, welcome to T-Mobile. Are you looking to pay a bill? If so, say yes. Yes.
You deal with that? Just
please
set up automatic
say
payment.
Yes. Yes.
What did you say? Yeah. We can't understand what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to transfer you.
Exactly. Canceling a subscription from the 913, 100%.
Yeah. Canceling a gym membership. You ever try to cancel a gym membership? You actually have to go in there.
I did it, and I had no Fs. I walked into Planet Fitness like 10 years ago. I was like, I don't go here anymore because I don't live in this area. Can you please cancel my subscription? Yeah, sorry, man. I was like, nah, just you guys keep charging me, and I've tried to call you guys 15
you can't,
times.
You can't.
Yeah, you have to literally go in there.
It's every gym's that way. It's crazy.
To make sure to go to Nashville when I visited Hannah, to go to the YMCA, to make a trip, to cancel, because I called 17 times and live in a different state. Yeah, it sucks.
Something from the 816 is ordering coffee. Canceling cable from the 816. From the 816, Dusty when he sees Kay Adams.
I know that I'm hard.
From the 620, not Jerry Jones's dinger.
That's true.
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones? From the 913, getting weak in the knees over Max Giggle. I swipe right on guys.
Max, awesome.
I don't know, man. What's changing your oil, I feel like, should be really
should be very easy.
I feel like this should just be like a plug under your car that you pull out and the oil pull, the rest of it pours out, and then you do the lock. I mean, you know what I mean?
It essentially is that way. It's just the getting under of the car.
Yeah.
You know?
Like if I can literally like put a Blackstone together, I should be able to change my oil.
No question. No question. You didn't have to get like down underneath and all that kind of stuff with the car.
Well, now new cars, they've got it all hidden and it's
forget
different.
About it.
816 says, calling up Cags.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Lining up on sides if you're Kadrapius.
Yeah.
Or D Ford.
No, yeah. I give D Ford more. You're an offensive player. Know where the line of scrimmage is. How many offensive players have you ever seen called for offsides before that?
Then they called 17 in a row.
Yeah. Then they kept calling them.
And then from the 913, will Dusty buy Sydney Sweeney's bar of soap that was made from her own bathwater? You already know the answer to that question.
That is the most disgusting thing I've
absolutely not. Ever I can't seen. Wait to buy it. Coming up, it's 98 days.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
98 days.
14 weeks from today.
That's right. Until the Chiefs play their first game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Max, burning football question on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
I've been pounded this week.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.